The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. 8 shows a week throughout the NFL season. We are heading to Thanksgiving. Got some great games on tap. All right, you know what? I'm not going to lie. We got a good game on CBS. You got to watch Bears, Lions as well to get there first. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. Before we do all that, we got to recap Monday Night Football as we do every Monday evening for Tuesday morning with the NFL Super Friends. And don't worry, if you're a regular subscriber, we will not be missing any shows. You have your regular group of shows. We'll record them all before we take off for the in-laws and some turkey. And we'll make sure we get you your content. Also, if you're a regular subscriber or new and you enjoy the show and you want to leave a review, fire up Apple Podcasts and leave something fun. There have been a lot of good ones recently. They are wildly entertaining when you people write funny things. I like snorted out loud reading the one about Prisco. Like I was like, usually it's Ryan Wilson who snorts like a little piggy, on the podcast when he laughs too hard, but I did it the other day live on the podcast because whatever somebody wrote on iTunes was hilarious. So, if you got something funny to say, do it. In the meantime, let's go live to the leader of the Lamar Jackson bandwagon, Ryan Wilson. Hey, how exciting for you. Lamar Jackson's biggest super fan. You've been on it since day one. Or week 8, whatever you think
works. Both work.
Also, of course, here, Sean Wagner-McGuff. Hello, Sean.
Hello.
And
the leader of the Andy Dalton bandwagon.
And this is the Andy Dalton Emergency Podcast. John Breach here as well. Brian, nobody wants to give you credit for being the guy who's on the
Not the leader of the bandwagon, the MVP conversation. That's it. I wasn't on the bandwagon last year.
Okay, then you need to rephrase what you're saying. You need to say
everyone knows that listens to this podcast.
No, they don't.
Except the person who falls asleep. Don't shake your head, Sean.
R. Jackson finished the night 15 of 20 for 169 yards and 5 passing touchdowns. He also ran 8 times for 95 yards. The Ravens throttled the Rams. I mean, this was an embarrassment. In L.A. on Monday night for Sean McVay, coming, I think, 361 days after the Rams beat the Chiefs 54-51 in L.A., reinventing football. Turns out that didn't work. McVay's fallen. Rams to 6-5. Ravens to 9-2. Mark Ingram also ran 15 times for 111 yards and a touchdown. Gus Edwards ran 14 times. Justice Hill ran 8 times. Robert Griffin III attempted 3 passes. That's how ugly it got. Jared Goff, 26 of 37 for 212 yards, 2 interceptions. Todd Gurley, 6 carries, 22 yards. Robert Woods, 6 catches, 97 yards. The Rams were a broken, lifeless, pathetic offense, and the Ravens looked like a new era Star Wars. Like they looked like the team that was reinventing offense, right, Ryan?
So 12 months ago, you mentioned that blowout, the 110 points or whatever between the Chiefs and the Rams. 12 months ago, if I said to you, John Harbaugh is unquestionably 400 million miles a better coach than Sean McVay, you'd laugh at me in much the same way you laugh about Sammy Watkins dominating Devontae Parker, right?
Yeah. In fact,
Breach has a point while you looked that up.
No, I was going to just point this out that and Jason Lockenfora reported this, and I don't think he reported it incorrectly. But November 11th, 2018, the headline is Ravens, John Harbaugh headed to a mutual parting of ways, in-season firing not discussed. It looked like John Harbaugh was out. Sean McVay was the new hotness, and now that has completely flipped.
Maybe that firing was the impetus to start doing analytical stuff. I don't know.
Or they switch quarterbacks.
Or they switch to Lamar
Jackson. I would just like to throw in there both brilliant men because they got a diploma from the greatest university in the United States, Miami of Ohio.
I'm sorry that I interrupted Brinson for you to say that now that I know what you're saying.
Yep. And I want to talk about if you like free money, bet on Ball State minus
This guy is giving out Mac locks against the conference champion. Come on,
maybe don't take the betting advice for the guy who bet on the Rams on Monday night.
Look, I'm smoking everybody and their brother on the CBS Sports page. I'm currently, I believe,
number
two expert in the country against the spread, according to PickWatch. So, Sean, you can S my TT. I think that's what they say.
Do we have to edit that one out?
Brinson, I don't think anyone says that.
And that, folks, is how Will Brinson got by.
And that is how Ryan Wilson became the podcast host.
Good. Ryan Wilson. Oh, I've been on the Lamar Jackson bandwagon for 42 years. I knew him when he came.
When you're listening to this and you're Pinto driving down the street, you're going to be banging against the dashboard because I keep owning that Lamar Jackson thing. No, the MVP.
I'm going to start listening to this podcast once I get fired, please. Sure.
Come on. Fair enough. I'll mail you a copy.
That's Lamar Jackson. Do your little victory lap. We should call Jason Lockenfora on his cell phone right now.
He's crying right now. That's what Prisco and Jamie Eisenberg would tell you. And look, a well-deserved cry because Lamar Jackson's balling out. Once again, they had no answers for them. I think Daniel Jeremiah tweeted this. Maybe people were complaining during the game that the Rams are soft defensively. And what would the Ravens do when they faced a tough team? Well, they beat the crap out of the Patriots already. So I think we see how they are against a really good defense. And does anyone have any idea about how you're going to slow down Lamar Jackson between now and February?
Well, I'll say two things is that it's kind of weird that the teams that have had the most success in the regular season are teams that have seen him before. Because we say a lot, it takes a year or two, but defensive coordinators in the NFL are always going to catch up to what you're doing. And if you look at where Lamar Jackson has struggled this year, it's been in divisional games. They got mollywopped by the Cleveland Browns. That was a 40-25 game. They barely beat – I don't remember who started. Duck – was it Duck Hodges or Mason Rudolph?
Mason got knocked out, and Duck came in.
So the Steelers had Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges in one game.
And if Juju Smith-Schuster hadn't fumbled, John
– And that's – I was about to say, that was a game the Steelers should have won. The Ravens won it in overtime, and even that first game against the Bengals was 23-17. So it was like you have these teams that are familiar with what the Ravens do, and so what the Ravens are doing on offense wasn't working as well. And also the Chiefs beat them last year in the regular season with Lamar Jackson, beat them this year with Lamar Jackson. And so there, it does feel like there, if you are familiar with this, obviously the Rams aren't going to have to play Lamar Jackson again until 2023. They're probably going to burn this film and never think about it for the next 4 years until they actually play him. So I do think it's interesting that teams are familiar. And one other thing I have said on a podcast a couple weeks ago is that nobody still has tried the Chargers game plan from the playoff game, which is throwing seven defensive backs out there. And obviously that worked. No one's done that this season. I think once you get to the postseason, we might see a team crazy enough to try that. But so there it is. Teams that are familiar with Lamar and the load the defensive backs.
Weird thing with your audio there, Breach. Nobody was interrupting you. But I would say, like, what was really surprising to me and really impressive on the Ravens' part, but very disappointing and surprising from the Rams' perspective, is that I thought Wade Phillips had an okay defensive plan. The Ravens, well, you could see that they were trying to bring a safety coming flying in late to try and blitz Lamar Jackson, and then they were hoping to hold contain on him. And then the problem is the counterpoint for the Ravens. One, they just won at the point of attack at the offensive line. Like the safety would come flying in, or the, you know, whoever would blitz come in late and wouldn't get there. Like they, and then Lamar would be able to casually step out of the pocket. And two, the Ravens had designed this plan not to do these short little hitters on the tight ends. Instead, they ran the longer routes with Miles Boykin and Marquise Brown and put them a little further downfield. And what that did, once the Rams brought a defender in, it left a wide open swath. And you saw, you know, that long near touchdown run that Lamar had where he fell down just before the goal line. I mean, Eric Weddle was in a one-on-one in the open field with Lamar.
I saw the replay and I was thinking Eric Weddle, the thoughts going through his mind was, dear God, please let this stadium get hit by an asteroid so I don't get posterized on national television.
All I could think was Eric Weddle looks exactly like I imagined Ryan at one of his soccer games. Like moving, like it's almost like somebody poured cement around his legs and he's just like churning through sand, trying as hard as he can to get to the soccer ball. It's like trickling.
You're not far off.
But yeah, I mean, I just thought that, and look, the Ravens average, and this is not even a fair stat because it belies the actual job that they did. They averaged 5.9 yards per carry on rushing attempts. That was at 9.1 with about a minute left, with under a minute left in the first half, and the game well in control. I mean, they absolutely mauled Aaron Donald and that Rams defensive front in the run game, Sean.
Yeah, I mean, in the like the key stat for me in this game is that Lamar Jackson was on the field for six series. All six series ended in a touchdown. And so, like, the Rams had no answers whatsoever. And I think the most impressive part, not taken away from Lamar, was about how well they played up front. And this is why I don't know, you know, Breach talks about the seven defensive back strategy. Certainly that worked last year.
No, that would have been destroyed.
Exactly. I don't think it can work this year.
Well, right. Well, let me just say real quick is that, yes, they're going to have a plan for that because they saw it last year, but you need to think of something completely outside the box, and that's what we haven't seen.
What would that be?
Nine defensive backs?
I just think this Ravens team can just bully everyone up front. Like, you mentioned Aaron Donald. I don't think I noticed him the entire game. When is the last time you watched a Rams game and you didn't notice Aaron Donald? He had one tackle the entire night. And a podcast listener actually tweeted to me and told me to bring up the fact that Marshall Yanda, I mean, like, obviously it's offensive lineman. They don't get credit, especially when you have the MVP front runner on the team. He dominated Aaron Donald for most of the night, and he was left isolated a lot of times. And so that, to me, is the takeaway, is that as much credit as we're giving Lamar, and it's all worthy, we should give the Ravens front office credit for going getting a guy like Mark Ingram, who at the time, a lot of us, probably me, was saying, oh, you shouldn't, you know, be paying running backs a lot of money in free agency. You know, you can plug anyone in there. He's such a physical runner, though, that he adds just an extra physical dimension to a team that is normally built around speed and pace, and he gives them a power option. And I think that is what's going to prevent teams from doing the defensive back strategy, which is what, you know, they did in the playoffs last year when the Ravens offense was completely different. And they were just, you know, they weren't throwing the ball with authority like they are now.
And Sean, that was only a 3-year, $15 million deal for Ingram. So you may have been okay with that.
Yeah. I don't know what the big problem would be for that. I would like to point out, I think I wrote about this in week one, but, I've been making note of it for a while. When you look at the guys, and I tweeted this out tonight, and I'd researched it at some point in the preseason or during the regular season. I can't remember when, but if you look at, like, I went and looked at the numbers on Sports Info Solutions, and Mark Ingram, who they signed in free agency, Justice Hill, who they drafted, and Gus Edwards, who was already on the roster, all three are like top five, either in college or in their pro or in the pros, or top five or top 10 runners in terms of efficiency out of shotgun. And so, like, the Ravens used analytics to decide who they were going to go and get. And Ingram is such a perfect complement for Lamar Jackson when they run those option plays. And because he's so speedy, but he has the power, he runs well as shotgun, has great vision, and he gets through holes and he burrows through, and he's got burst to get through to the next level. So, to me, I don't disagree. Somebody's got to try something different. I'm just not sure that. Like, I know the defensive back thing worked last year when they were mainly looking for Lamar to take the ball and run on a pure just read option principles. But they have so many different things they do in terms of RPOs, throwing to the tight ends, lining up in heavy, having the, you know, running play action, having these tight ends streak.
Hey, Brinson, to add to your point, and Next Gen Stats just tweeted this out tonight, Monday night, the Ravens ran pistol 79% of the time, and that sort of makes predicting the, you know, which way you're going to run out of the pistol. That's part of the problem. And obviously the Rams had no answer for that.
Yeah, you do pistol and you can run the RPOs. You can run the read option and it just makes you so dangerous. And I just think that, like, that offensive line of those running backs would just bowl over
Well, and they are going to be tough to beat, obviously, no matter what. But another part with that whole familiarity thing, and those are the teams that have had the most success, whether they're winning or losing, they're the ones that are keeping the games close. And that's where the Patriots come in, because they did get to see four quarters of Lamar Jackson. Bill Belichick is a very fast learner. I wouldn't be surprised if he just kind of he got to a point in the game where he said, you know, we're not going to win, so let's just have them throw the playbook at us so that we can get it all on film and I can figure out how to stop this in the playoffs. So I do think that the Patriots will do a lot better against Lamar if they were to play him in the playoffs. I don't know if they're going to win, but I do think they're not going to lose 37-20.
I agree with you that the Patriots will have more success against Lamar the second time. I would disagree with you that Bill Belichick was like, I'm just going to soak up all your free plays. Like, I'm not buying it.
I was saying, like, once it was out of reach, like, you know, they weren't winning. It was done. Just let them do whatever they want.
And the other thing about this Ravens team, I mean, we've talked about it before, is this defense continues. I mean, not playing as well as the offense, but it continues to hold its own. And it was the defense that we thought was going to be the weak link on the team. And since that week four game when the Browns scored 40 on them, they entered this game tonight, or Monday night, allowing 16 points per game. And obviously the Rams only had 6 points tonight. So, this defense continues to play out of its mind, and why they're the most, it's not just Lamar Jackson. This is the most complete team in football, I think, by a decent margin.
Yeah. Lamar, by the way, Ryan, probably going to win MVP. He was asked about it after the game.
We taking the game at a time. I'm not worried about MVP, you know. If it come, it come. I'll be satisfied, but I'm trying to win the Super Bowl. That's a team award, and that's what I want.
Love Lamar Jackson.
It's funny that Lamar said that because I haven't seen Stephen O's numbers yet, but 538 has a new favorite to win the Super Bowl.
Also, Stephen O is inherently biased towards the Ravens, so don't believe his numbers. But
I don't think that
Stephen O of Sportsline is not actually biased, but he is a huge Ravens fan. And he was telling me before the year, he's like, I'm telling you, this Ravens team is going to be incredible. Like, people are underselling it. I was like, Stephen, yep, sure, whatever you say about a year. Because, like, you know, I was in on the Steelers. I was thinking about that tonight. Like, that's Ben Roethlisberger.
I know. I'm just thinking about all the things that have happened in the month since.
No, I think, like, that's one of the misses. Like, that, I think that the only way to get better at predicting what might happen in an NFL season, which is inherently difficult in the first place, is to figure out why you missed on something. And, I mean, like, I hearken back to, you know, a couple of things I read about this Ravens offense and, like, John Harbaugh's quote that, like, this will be unlike anything you've ever seen before. And I thought, that's stupid. That's not going to be the case, but it really is. Like, this offense is special and different and unique. And I think Breach has a point that you can slow it down, maybe more easily the second time you see it, but execute so well. Like, they didn't even involve the tight ends tonight. Marquise Brown, who plays on like 17% of his snaps.
Had a couple good looks.
Once it was kind of a blowout. I mean, but it was like, it was the, what they did, they, this is like Harbaugh and Greg Roman played chess all over Wade Phillips. I mean, they knew that he was going to put Jalen Ramsey on Mark Andrews and that they thought they'd go heavy with tight ends. So they just let Marquise Brown abuse defensive backs and Lamar threaded the ball. And all of a sudden, once it's 14-0, that game's over.
Well, I'll ask you in Breach again. How are teams, if they play the Ravens two or three or four or five times, what are you going to do differently?
Well, Wilson, this is what I mean, I've already said this. I'm not going to repeat myself, but it's just that we've seen teams that have played them multiple times. It's been closer or the other team's winning. We saw, again, the Steelers.
I heard that. I'm just asking, do you have any ideas about how you do it?
Well, that is, do you think the Ravens are going to change their strategy when they're playing those teams again that have beaten them, like the Chiefs? Or do you think the Chiefs are going to change their strategy? I mean, when you're playing a team like this, it's like playing the triple option at Nebraska. It's all about keeping responsibility. Everybody has to do their job. Classic Belichick line. And so this is not an offense that NFL players are used to seeing. And if they haven't seen it in 5 years. And so it's hard to practice for this when you only have 3 days of practice leading up to a game. You know, if you're playing them coming off a bye, or you're playing them off getting ready for a Super Bowl when you have 2 weeks to prepare, or in week one where you have the whole offseason prepare, or if they're a divisional opponent where you just kind of know what their personnel is and how their coach coaches, that's one thing. But if you've never seen this before, the Rams had to prepare for this in 3 days. That's impossible. I think the Ravens are going to do the same thing the 49ers next week. But if you are familiar, I do think it is a little easier to prepare for and slow down but not stop.
Not to mention, you just can't have a quarterback, like, replicate it in terms of the scout team. I think the Bengals use Andy Dalton, right, or something to, like, try to do it. It's just, like, imagine, like, asking Andy Dalton to try to mimic Lamar Jackson. Like,
Andy
just
Dalton
not
did a
getting
great Rudolph last week, though.
I would also say this, too. Like, in this game, I didn't think at the very early onset of it that I actually thought that the Rams could kind of hang in there just the way that it sort of started playing out. The Ravens converted every third down, and like the Rams had really bad penalties. You know, they got one of the ends of the red zone, and like Booger's like, oh, gives you more room to operate. Turns out it's not so great. I just thought that the Ravens converted all of their early third downs. That was huge because it kept their drives alive and they were marching on them. And then the other thing about this game, like, this is where it changes. Like, they completely nullified, as we mentioned, Aaron Donald. When you take Aaron Donald out of the game plan for the Rams, like, that was the whole goal of the Rams, is Aaron Donald's going to disrupt on the interior and flush Lamar Jackson, and then we'll send guys blitzing late. And if we do that, we're going to get big hits on Lamar. And they did get a couple big hits. But the problem was, Donald was nullified and there was no pressure there. And so Lamar all of a sudden had open swaths of field to run.
I thought the biggest surprise was just how bad the Rams offense was. Like my personal prediction, I think was like 30 to 27. So I thought the Rams or the Ravens would get in the 30s and their offense would roll.
You thought the Rams would cover too. Why are you calling me an idiot?
No, our 30 to 23 or whatever. I had the Ravens winning by a touchdown. You can check my score out on my picks page to verify that. I had the Ravens covering, Brinson. I didn't lose any money betting on them. But my point is the biggest surprise to me was how bad the Rams offense looked. Cause I did think it would be a shootout that the Rams would be able to keep up and move the ball on this Ravens defense. And they did absolutely nothing. The first two possessions were disastrous. I think they totaled 0 yards combined on those drives and they punted. And by the time they got the ball back for that third possession, they were down 14-0. And like Brinson said earlier, once it was 14-0, it felt like the game was over.
I never felt like the Rams were going to move the ball. I mean, this is the Rams team that's offensive line is in shambles. Jared Goff sucks. I mean, we talk about making fun of Mitch Trubisky. Jared Goff ain't far off that conversation. And Warren Sharp tweeted this out. He's a big Lamar guy. He might be a bigger Lamar guy than me. I'm not sure. We'll have to check the facts.
No one is a bigger Lamar guy than you, right?
No. Warren
I know. Yeah. He said in August. Let me tell you this quickly, and you can tell that story. But he said Lamar's cap hit. In 2020, this year, $2.6 million. Next year, $3 million. Jared Goff in 2020, $36 million. Next year, $32 million. And it's in the 30s for the next 3 years after that. So they have that tied up. They have Aaron Donald tied up. They have no first-round picks. And I said this at the time of the Jalen Ramsey trade, and I think that Breach actually agreed with me. They gave up two picks for Jalen Ramsey, two first-rounders, who was supposed to be the final piece of this Super Bowl team, presumably, because they just went to the Super Bowl, traded Marcus Peters. Marcus Peters has been balling out ever since he arrived in Baltimore, had another interception tonight. This is a disastrous trade, not because Jalen Ramsey stinks, just because they have no more draft picks. Their salary cap situation is a nightmare, and Jared Goff sucks. Other than that, the Rams have had a pretty good season.
What's funny about – yeah, I didn't think the Rams were going to score many points in this game. Entering this week, they were closer in DVOA to the Jets, who are in last place, than they were to the Cowboys in first place. So, I mean, they entered the week 20th, and the Broncos, for comparison, are 22. The Bills are 23. This has been a bad offense all season. It almost feels like, just get back to the Ravens, like, I don't think a team will slow them down, or maybe they'll slow them down. They won't stop them, which is why, like, I feel like I hate someone's going to play this back. Like, I don't like the Patriots to beat them because their offense, I don't think it's just good enough to keep pace with them. Where I could see a team, and I would still take the Ravens in this game, don't get me wrong, but like a team like the Chiefs would maybe have a better chance just because maybe they could just match them touchdown for touchdown.
I would agree with that. Like, I don't think that, I thought that early on, and look, the Rams started their first two possessions. They got five total yards, had a brutal penalty in one, and went punt. Like, and then they gave up two immediate touchdowns, so you're down 14-0. But then, like, you could see it in the next two drives. I mean, they went 15 plays, 56 yards, got into the red zone, and then had settled for a field goal, which at that point, maybe you go for the touchdown because you're getting gashed on offense.
That's the other thing. Harbaugh goes for it on fourth down. McVay is one of the most conservative coaches in the league.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how you could be watching what was happening with your team and think that you're going to win with field goals. Down 14-3, right? I mean, you needed to get
24 hours after watching Jason Garrett.
Yeah, it is pretty wild. I will say that I don't know what I was going to say about the Chiefs. And, oh yeah, well yeah. I mean, Sean, first of all, you got to come strong. Just be like the Patriots can't beat the Ravens. Say it, own it.
No, because Breach is right. I'm not putting anything past Belichick.
Well, what's
he's
the
a
line?
Wizard. I'm not putting anything past him.
What's the line in January in Gillette Stadium in that game?
Patriots -3.
Right. Maybe four at the most?
Nah.
Four sounds insane, doesn't it?
Maybe pick them. I was going to three's good, but it's going to be not very much.
Exactly.
But I do think the Patriots probably be favored.
Although Belichick might ask to not be favored, so he can use that as a
motivational. A motivational. Wilson, you said that Goff sucked, so I'm going to throw this stat out right now at how bad he has sucked. During the month of November, Ryan Finley, Duck Hodges, Matt Schaub, Julian Edelman, Brian Hoyer, and Matt Moore all threw more touchdown passes than Jared Goff, who threw zero. He went through the whole month without throwing a touchdown pass. Julian Edelman threw a touchdown pass.
You want to hear a fun fact? courtesy of Bruce Feldman of The Athletic. And this was midway through the game, so these numbers have changed. But Lamar Jackson's passing numbers in November, 78% completion, 10 touchdowns, 10 more than Jared Goff. And he's 22 years old. I think he's a month younger than Joe Burrow.
That is a fun fact. By the way, I know Jalen Ramsey's been good, but I mean, how about the fact that like the Rams traded a first round pick or two first round picks for Jalen Ramsey, and the Ravens were like, all right, we'll take your Marcus Peters leftovers for nothing and kickstarted their defense. Like, I mean, it's pretty unbelievable. What percent chance do you give the Rams of making the playoffs?
Zero.
Okay.
Negative.
I mean, you think you have to go a little bit higher than...
There's a better chance you would say something I just said 5 minutes ago than the Rams making the playoffs.
Oh, that's like 78%.
It's 100% tonight.
They fell from 27% to 21% to make the playoffs. According to the New York Times... Ryan, real news, hashtag real news.
Let me ask you this, though. So 21% for the Rams. I won't tell you what 538 had, but what in your mind, better chance Rams making the playoffs or the Ravens making it to the Super Bowl?
Probably Ravens to the Super Bowl.
Ravens.
That's got to be above 20%.
Nice breach. It's 25 according to 538, 25%.
Well, the problem is the Rams have to win out to get to 91% to get a wild card, basically.
Or 87%
to get a wild card. And that involves beating the Cardinals, Seahawks, Cowboys, 49ers, and Cardinals again. Now, I don't think that's totally impossible, but I think it is pretty unlikely. That offense just looks broken. I mean, Todd looks like a below average running back. He doesn't have any explosion. The offensive line gets no push, and Goff can't like feel pressure coming. And he's not throwing the way he was throwing last year. So, yeah. Speaking of Jared Goff, they will talk about him. By the way, the Ravens covered the 3.5, if I didn't mention that.
Are you at all worried about Sean McVay, or is this all an issue with Jared Goff and the offensive line?
I'm very worried about Sean McVay. Why isn't he adjusting? Like, his halftime adjustments are non-existent. His week-to-week adjustments are non-existent. I mean, it's just all the offensive line, but how are you going to fix the offensive line when you're dedicating all your cap space to Todd Gurley, Jared Goff, and the upcoming Jalen Ramsey contract, and you don't have any first-round picks until 2097?
Not to mention he definitely had some say whether they were going to extend Jared Goff this past summer, or this past September, I guess. So
they extended Jared Goff a year too early.
And everyone in the world the entire summer was saying this. This isn't like, you know, hindsight 2020 thing. Everyone in the world was saying this. Don't extend him this year and see what he got, because he was really bad in the second half. It all dates back to last September, which is when he started playing really poorly.
I mean, it's just wild. Like, you could just be like, hey, Jared, we're going to wait one more year. Play well next year and then we'll extend you.
And you could have saved $110 million.
The Ravens have an 86% chance of getting a bye. Now, 10% chance of hosting the wild card.
What are the Patriots' chances of getting? Does it say first round bye or just a bye?
Of getting, it's just a bye. Patriots' chances of getting a bye are 96%.
A division.
Well, they're also
the Bills are pretty good.
They're also 10-1. Yeah. We mentioned Jared Goff being a troublesome quarterback situation. Coming after the break, we'll talk about that. And oh yeah, what's that? Oh, what's that noise you hear in the distance? It's a red rifle storming down the road!
Woohoo!
Reeds gets to celebrate coming up after the break.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
All right. Take it away, Breach. The Bengals are going back to Andy Dalton. Is this the happiest day of your life or the saddest day of your life? I would point out that when it was announced that Andy Dalton would be the starter, Vegas immediately ripped Jets -4.5 off the board. It was off. You couldn't bet on it anymore. 30 minutes later, it came back. A shocking turn of events. Jets -4.
Andy Dalton is worth a half a point. That makes my day even better than it already was.
He's a half a point better than Ryan Finley.
He's a half a point better than Zach Taylor.
Both of those. This is literally probably top 15 greatest days of my life. Andy Dalton getting his job back. Sean, just imagine if Jay Cutler announced tonight that he was coming out of retirement and playing for the Bears on Sunday. That's the joy I'm feeling right now.
The day that he announced he was going to the Dolphins was a pretty great day for me. So I get it, Breach. I'm happy for you.
There wouldn't be a Jay Cutler emergency pod, but there would be a Jay Cutler periscope on Sean's.
And now I've got the tattoo artist on standby so that Sean can get his tattoo if Dalton explodes over the final 4 weeks of the season. But here's the thing. The Bengals shouldn't have ever benched him. And I said this when they traded or when the trade deadline was they should trade him and let Ryan Finley play the rest of the season. But if you are not going to trade him and you are going to keep Andy Dalton, you need to let him finish the season because that is, hey, you got to see what you have. You got to keep his trade value up. You got to do whatever you can do to win games. And you know what? Once they put Finley in, I really think that they saw him. Sorry to say this, Brinson, but he's horrible. And after three straight losses, I really think this came from higher up. And they were like, look, Zach, we don't want to go 0-16. That's an embarrassment to us. You need to get Andy Dalton back in there. Like, I do not think this is 100% Zach Taylor's decision.
Breach. Go ahead, Brinson. Yeah, I got some bad news.
Worse than 0-11?
Andy Dalton was 0-8 when he got benched.
He's lost 11 games in a row, but he gives the Bengals. If you don't think he gives the Bengals a 10 times better chance to win, then
he's worth a
you're
half.
Crazy.
They beat the Steelers if he was starting.
They probably beat the Raiders. That game was 17-10. If they had any functional offense, they probably win that game. So it's just and
this is a little bit of like bizarre hindsight hero worship. You're like,
look, let Breach have his moment. Come on,
Steelers homer. I can tell you that they would have won that game easily.
He's using it to bag on Ryan Finley. That's all this is.
here it is.
No, it's not. It's what the Bengals are doing. They're like, well, let's go back to Andy and just drag Ryan Finley through the mud. First of all, this is idiotic. If you're going to bench Andy Dalton, then bench him and see what you got with Ryan Finley. It's the same.
I agree with that. They should have never benched him in the first place. And the fact they did, why go back to him? You just look even stupider. Like, there's no doubt about that.
They're 0-8 with Andy Dalton.
No. Look, you can bench him, but as John's pointed out numerous times, trade Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, we've seen Ryan Finley. He is terrible. Now, maybe he's better on a better team.
He's a fourth-round rookie behind the worst.
He is 28 years old.
AJ Green's refusing to play. Won't give him a contract.
Refusing to play.
He doesn't have any. He is. He's clearly refusing to play. This is the worst possible situation. This is the equivalent of judging. Like, it's worse than judging Josh Rosen because at least Ryan Finley is a fourth-round pick. What was he supposed to be doing right now against the Ravens?
This is definitely the weirdest hill Brinson's chosen to die on.
No, look, the Bengals have handled this terribly.
Yes, that's indisputable. I don't think Dalton should have ever got benched, but after they benched him, they should have never gone. Like, stick to your gun. Stop being stupid. Training. Don't make idiotic decisions. This whole situation just shows how dysfunctional this organization is. So I will defend Andy Dalton to death, but the Bengals, the front office, it's so dysfunctional that it blows my mind that it is now in this situation where they decide 0-11, hey, let's maybe finally win our games, which also could cost us a shot at the number one pick because with Dalton starting, they could win at least one game. And you know what? If they do win that one game, then Dalton will have more wins than Cam Newton over the past 8 years.
By the way, since Breach started yelling about Andy Dalton, the zipper on his sweatshirt, of which he's not wearing a shirt underneath, has inched downward.
Oh, he's already taken off his Knight Rider jacket, too.
So let's get to the important thing. So apparently the Andy Dalton bet is still on because Andy Dalton is playing football again. And for people who don't know the bet, John Breach bet me in September after week one, I believe, that Andy Dalton would break the all-time season record for passing yards that was set by Peyton Manning. And if he won the bet, I would get an Andy Dalton tattoo. And if Andy Dalton did not break the all-time record, he would wear a Mitch Trubisky sticker for a month and something about going to Jay Cutler's house, who also lives in Nashville. So Andy Dalton's back. I thought I had the bet wrapped up. I guess it's not wrapped up. So I went and crunched the numbers. Peyton Manning set the record with 5,477 yards. Andy Dalton right now is 2,252 yards, which means Andy Dalton needs 3,225 yards to tie the record. And you know what? I'll be generous. Breach, if he ties the record, I'll get the tattoo.
What about this?
So,
how many yards per game?
I ran the numbers. You guys are all asking these questions. Let me finish. Five games left. That means he needs 645 yards per game. So if you look at his current yards per attempt, they are at 6.7 yards per attempt. So at his current pace, he would need to average 96.3 passes per game over the final 5 weeks to break the record.
That's possible. And he would also have to set the single game record every single game, since the most passing yards in NFL history in one game is 551 yards. And he'd also have to throw for over 600 yards against the Patriots. And also, that would be the greatest day ever if the Bengals beat the Patriots and cost them the home field advantage because Andy Dalton.
By the way, Zach Taylor said, right now this is a decision to help us beat New York, which I do wonder, like, is this a, oh boy, if I go 0-16, I'm getting – because, I mean, you go 0-16 and all bets are off in terms of whether or not you get fired as a first-year head coach.
Breach just made the point that it maybe came up from higher above. Well,
I do feel like he got a nudge from the front office and said, look, man, you're safe unless you go 0-16 because we've been embarrassed before, but we've never been 0-16 embarrassed. So you better fix something and not go 0-16. I mean, that's really what it feels like.
I do think that maybe the part of the thinking here is that you mentioned Breach could win one game, probably the Dolphins game. They'll still be okay for the first overall pick because every other team has at least two wins. I don't know if there's a way they can win two games. Do you think?
They're getting the first overall pick. Let me ask you this. Do you think A.J. Green plays on Sunday?
Yeah.
I think he does, too.
Because he hates Ryan Finley, as you just pointed out.
He's not going to get hung out to dry by a fourth-round pick who's learning on the fly. He's going to go hang with a little bosom buddy.
Hey, I have one more question for Sean.
That's what Andy Dalton's in A.J. Green's phone as, my ginger baby.
Are you willing to get the tattoo if Andy Dalton throws for 600 yards against the Patriots and just does that?
No.
Yes. Come
on.
He said no.
Why would I risk a one game fluke over a tattoo? Get out of here.
There's a better chance.
There would have to be something big on Breach's end if he doesn't do that.
I mean,
what? I would have to do something big if he doesn't throw for 600 yards against the Patriots.
I'm not betting. I would not bet a tattoo on a one game thing. I don't care what the sport is.
Hey, Sean, I've got a better idea. Breach, if Andy Dalton throws for 600 yards against the Patriots, you have to get an Andy Dalton tattoo.
Oh, there you go.
I'm going to draw one on myself.
He's like, I already got one. Unzips
his another one?
My wife said I could only have one.
Only this podcast would spend seven minutes on Andy Dalton.
And for the record, I think the Bengals are dysfunctional. I'm glad Dalton's starting, but they should never bench him. They're dumb. That's it.
No, Breach, they should have benched him. They should have benched him in their 0-5 and played.
No, they should have traded him. I think they should have traded him.
I bet Brenton, though.
I mean, look, I do think that it does signal that 17 minutes on the Bengals, Diva? Really? It does signal that one would assume that they are ready to move on from Ryan Finley and draft a quarterback with the top overall.
No, he could just be the backup. He's a fourth-round pick.
Back to who, Ryan?
Well, Andy Dalton on Sunday, and then next year, Joe Burrow. What? He's the backup. They're not ready to move on from him. I think they draft him as a backup. They tried him for 3 weeks. He threw complete 47% of his passes.
Explain to him.
Why are we still talking about the Bengals? I don't want to explain it.
There you go.
Even I'm ready to move on.
Lock could start for the Broncos. Good move or bad move, Breach? You're locked into these great quarterback calls.
Brinson, you were saying earlier with Ryan Finley, you got your rookie quarterback. You got to find out what you have. Throw Drew Lock out there. They have nothing to lose at this point. Brandon Allen's not. These guys. The Broncos season is absolutely lost. They're not even fighting for a number one draft pick, so they don't have to worry about tanking or reverse tanking. They just have to find out if Drew Lock's any good, so I do absolutely think they should put him in there.
The Jags are sticking with Nick Foles, Sean. Good move or bad move?
It's just as bad as their decision to give Foles the starting job back. They're letting money dictate this when they should be looking at the cheap contract that Gardner Minshew has and try to build around him because he's cheaper in the long term and try to move Foles in the offseason. But it's Tom Coughlin, so what do you expect? He removed the ping pong tables and he thought that was going to solve everything.
Marlon Mack is out again this week for the Colts, no surprise. That means the duo of Washington and Wilkins will fill in. Derwin James is returning from the injured reserve. Makes total sense when you're 4-7 to bring your superstar defensive back from injured. Ryan, of the three teams that are 4-7 in the AFC, which is most likely to make a playoff run? I know this is your thing. Jaguars, Chargers?
J-E-T-S, Jets.
I'm with you. I sort of think Jets.
Brenton was on the bandwagon first.
That's right. Yesterday.
Their schedule. No, I was on the Jets bandwagon like a month ago.
You're on every bandwagon a month
ago. But then you jumped off it two podcasts later and then jumped back on it and then kind of hobbled off. But it sounds like it's like me and the Jags.
No,
me and the Jaguars.
I said the Jets were going to go on a winning streak and they won three straight games and scored 34 points.
He did say they were going to make a playoff push, and then we made fun of him for it. And then I do think when we made fun of him for it, he jumped off briefly, but it's fine. He's back on.
Yeah,
the boat was still in sight. You know, he swam back.
He's feeding tacos to Adam Gase right now.
My best bet of the week, Jets over the Bengals, the hapless clown show Bengals, the losers who can't figure out whether they're going forwards or backwards. They hired Zach Taylor. He's a zombie. A young zombie. They hired this guy to run their team. They got no idea what they're doing. They're burrowing for burrow, and they're going to blast Andy Dalton into oblivion. Jets by 30 in Cincinnati.
Sweet mercy.
I kind of agree with Brenton.
Brenton, this is the Bengals Super Bowl. This is like Dalton's back. The whole team's reinvigorated. Joe Mixon's tweeting out acronyms for cuss words. They're ready to roll, man.
I almost made a Bengals Super Bowl joke that I remember your dad actually played in it. I was like, oh, that'd be bad. the XFL blocked Josh Johnson from going to the Lions. Congratulations, Vince McMahon. All right, let's talk about some uncertain quarterback futures. Who should be worried about the futures of their position? This is basically the Jared Goff conversation. Got Debo. Look at Debo. The rundowns this guy puts together. Somebody give Debo a raise.
I want to give Debo a raise, but I also want to laugh because it's very clear you're reading that for the first time. You're like, oh, what is next on this Google Doc that I have not looked at once?
I've looked at it throughout the day. So this is my seventh podcast. Okay. So these are the no problem, no worries, no issues, quarterback situations. Ryan, let me know if you have a problem with any of these teams. Texans, Ravens, Chiefs, Seahawks.
Oh, of course not.
Anybody raise a red flag with those? Nope. Speak now or forever hold your pizza.
Reese's Pieces. Nice. Just made that up on the fly.
Yeah.
Hey,
all right, would you say the Patriots have a quarterback situation they have to deal with?
Yeah.
Oh.
He sold his house. Alex Guerrero. Is that his name, Guerrero? The offense stinks.
Breach would know. Breach is the Guerrero guy.
I don't think Brady's going to be there for more. Like, either this will be his last season or next one. I absolutely do not think he'll be there past 2020. So, yes, they need a quarterback. Maybe Andy Dalton. I bet Belichick could win a Super Bowl with him.
That would be your dream, wouldn't it be?
I think it's sort of underrated. We talked to JLC on yesterday, and I said, wouldn't it be crazy if Rivers, Ben, and Eli all retired in the same year? He's like, Ben's not retiring. I think it's sort of underrated that the Steelers are just going to be fine with Ben coming off of what amounts to Tommy John surgery. Are you a little worried about that, Ryan?
I was actually thinking about this the other day. They're somehow 6-5 with no quarterback. And like I've said it before, I think Tomlin's under a lot less pressure because you don't have to win with Ben. Le'Veon's gone. AB is off sending crazy tweets. So, you know, if you can get just a slightly above average replacement level quarterback, maybe you're okay. But right, Ben's coming off the shoulder, the elbow thing. So who knows how healthy he's going to be and when. And he might look like crap for the first 2 months of next season just because he's, you know, not one to be in great shape usually, and he hasn't played football in a long time. So,
the beard he's got going on screams, cry for help.
Well, it screams that I lay down a lot and eat a lot of potato chips. And
this is what I would do if I never played football.
Right, that's exactly
right. I'm rich, injured, and don't have to worry about a thing for the next few months.
Yeah, so.
Remember those, like, week where we're like, oh, God, like, is Mason Rudolph going to, you know, steal Big Ben's job? Like, no. Like, he has nothing
feels
to do
like 20
about.
Years ago.
Hey, Sean.
What's up?
Packers in a good spot at their quarterback position?
I mean, you know I'm, like, on the anti-Rodgers trade, but no, they're fine. I mean, they have bigger priorities than Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
The Chargers, though.
I'll handle the Chargers, okay?
Well, I wanted to – we should ask you.
Fuck! Very sensitive about this Chargers stuff. Reach, are the Saints in good shape, yes or no?
Yes, because they have Teddy Bridgewater. I think they're going to keep him. And like Tom Brady, I think Breeze will play one more season max. So I think he'll be gone after 2020, probably retirement, because Brady might try and play until 45 because he's crazy. I think Breeze is just – age is going to hit him eventually. But they have Teddy Bridgewater, so I think they'll be good to go after that.
And the Chargers are in a deep pile of doo-doo because it doesn't sound like they want to bring back Philip Rivers. I don't know that Philip Rivers will play somewhere else and leave for 9 months without his kids. Dead serious. Like, you can't move 9 kids from ages 7. You can't. Not enough.
It's possible.
Physically, it's difficult to do in the first place, no matter how rich you are. But, like, if you have 9 kids who are ages 17 to 2, you can't move them all to Chicago and put them in new schools. Like, right. You're going to have to be – I mean, right? Ryan, back me up here.
No, the only way it could happen, and this may already be the case because it sounds like the most Philip Rivers things ever, is that he just homeschools the kids, like all 25 of them. But I suspect they're probably in school. And, yeah, you would leave them behind in Southern California, I would imagine.
I mean, like, when you have to, like, move – when you move and you take one kid away from, like, their school and their friends, you make them, like – you, like, destroy their lives. Like, imagine if you take 9 of them. Like, your life is going to be hell for a year and a half while they
– No amount of money would be worth that.
What's going to happen is he's actually going to go to Chicago, move the family, and then they're going to pick the Bears for Hard Knocks and just have the camera at his house the entire time. It'll be, like, cheaper, like, the dozen.
Anyway, I'm starting to get a little worried that Philip Rivers is going to retire, and it's making me sad. And maybe that's why I'm a little despondent these days.
Hey, you got Ryan Finley.
The Rams is because Philip Rivers is retiring, and I'm upset about it.
You got Ryan Finley? You got Mike Glennon? Who else you got?
Russell Wilson is a
– he went to Wisconsin. Don't forget that.
F you guys. All right. This the too early to tell division. Would like to point out to Pete Prisco that the Ravens not located in here. It's because the
why
Ravens
– say that?
No, he likes Josh Allen more than – he actually said – on a text today, tonight, he said, I would take Lamar Josh Allen.
He would take what?
Lamar over Josh Allen.
Oh, I thought it was going to be the other way, the way you were setting this up. Thank God.
No, I'd be killing him. I'd be screenshotting and texting it out.
Would you rather have Jameis or Jacoby?
Jacoby, Brissett.
I agree.
Bills, Jets, Browns, Giants, Redskins, and Cardinals. The too early to tell. I think the Cardinals are fine with Kyler. I am inclined to say that the Browns are fine with Baker, but I understand the concerns. I would also say that the Jets are fine with Sam Darnold. It's 3 weeks against bad defenses, but after the mono thing, he looks fine. I think Darnold's awesome and he's going to be fine. I'm not worried about the Browns. Baker's, you know, their problems. I think Baker's going to go on a little run here too. I actually think the Bills are probably fine with Josh Allen.
He's getting better. I mean, he does a lot of things that makes it crazy, but he can occasionally make a couple good throws. He's not going to put up huge numbers. So he hasn't yet. He runs well. He's just got to quit getting concussed. But I think he had his first interception on Sunday for the first time, like 135 attempts or something crazy.
Well, that's what I was going to say, Ryan. He's gotten smarter about not turning the ball over. His last 7 games, he has produced 15 touchdowns, just 2 interceptions. Dak Prescott, who we talk about as an MVP, has produced 14 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. So less touchdowns, 5 more interceptions in his last 7 games than Josh Allen.
However, Josh Allen has fumbled, I believe, 6 or 7 times in that span. So,
I mean, so have you changed?
But not lost all of them.
Have you changed your tune? Have you changed your tune on Josh Allen at all, Sean?
No, I mean, I think he's improved marginally. I would have liked to see more improvement. The problem is that I don't think the Bills could replace him next year. It's still too young and he showed improvement, and they're too good that they're not going to be able to draft a good quarterback. So I think it makes sense to stick with him. I wouldn't be in the panic mode.
Did you say you would rather have Josh Allen in Chicago or Mr. Trubisky?
At this point, I'd rather have Josh Allen, but I don't want – I'd rather say none of the above.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. Because we've got guys, you got problems here. Eagles, Rams, Debo includes the Falcons in here, burying Matt Ryan. Debo hates Matt Ryan.
You just said yesterday that he's old and Sean called him washed up, I believe.
Sean,
no.
That was you.
Whoa, no. That was not me. Let's replay the audio. I said he's not ever going to be what he was under Kyle Shanahan, but he's still good. But he's not washed.
He doesn't look like he has his fastball. Who would you rather
he
be?
He was Princeton.
Who would you rather be three teams, the Eagles, the Rams, or the Falcons?
What's the question?
If you had to be one of those teams with their quarterback situation, who would you take?
Oh, Lord. Oh, the Eagles.
Falcons. Eagles.
Falcons for me, too.
Well, how much longer you got at Matt Ryan?
It gives me 3 years. It's probably longer than Carson Wentz going to last with his.
You see Debo right there, right?
Sorry, Debo. Debo wants a new quarterback. He doesn't care. He's hoping. He wants to trade for Nick Foles.
Debo, would you trade Carson Wentz for Matt Ryan?
No.
Matt Ryan, what?
Matt okay. Ryan's 36, when, 35, 36.
The contract, they can't really get out of that. 2020, the dead cap is $63.4 million. Yeah, Matt Ryan. 2021, $30 million dead cap. 2022, they can save $20 million by cutting him, but they're still taking $16.8 million against the cap. And then 2023 is when they can actually reasonably get out of it. So they might be stuck with Matt Ryan until he's 38. So I agree with Debo. I'd rather have Wentz's potential.
Okay.
I think Wentz might be hurt, too. I don't know how much they're talking about it other than the hand. But how do you go from being really, really good to really, really not great?
Other than his right hand?
No, that just happened last week. Prior to that, he wasn't playing well either. Right?
Well, there were certain corners of the analytics internet that never thought Wentz was that good to begin with and was being propped up by a high interception rate that was bound to regress. I think the most concerning thing about him this year is his yards per attempt has completely nosedived. It's not even the touchdown percentage.
Yeah. his quarterback rating's fallen to 89.6. He led the league in QBR 2 years ago in 2017. He's averaging 230 passing. He's averaging less passing yards per game than he did as a rookie. That is a problem. He's basically regressed to his rookie season.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what is kind of weird about this, too, is that even though he was an MVP candidate in year two, last year I thought was actually his best season. It's just like the touchdowns weren't up. The touchdowns fell because that's the way touchdown passes work. So that's why this is so surprising, is that he was legitimately probably having his best year last year. Now he looks like he's regressed by 2 years.
And now, look, it is worth pointing out against that Seahawks team, A, that Seahawks defense has improved a lot. B, they had no Lane Johnson. As we point out, this Carson Wentz plays much worse without Lane Johnson. C, no Nelson Aguilar, no Alshon Jeffrey, no Jordan Howard in the run game either. Brandon Brooks left with anxiety issues in the middle of the game. I mean, the Eagles are just sort of falling apart. Like, it's just like, you know, careening down the road and stuff flying out of the doors. I still think that Carson Wentz is pretty good. But man, this is not a good season for the Carson Wentz truthers out there. You know they have Wentz and Goff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. No one's taking Goff. Not even Sean McVay, I don't think.
Sean McVay went home after this game, and he is staring at Jared Goff's contract, wondering when is the fastest we can get out of this so I can bring somebody else in to play this position, because Goff isn't cutting it. And Sean, I think the answer is 2022 and get out with a $10 million cap hit.
Who lasts longer in L.A.? Jared Goff, Les Snead, Sean McVay.
Or Phillip Rivers.
Rank them.
Jared Goff has zero passing touchdowns and five interceptions his last three games. Is that good?
You're not cutting him, though.
No, you're not. What are you talking cutting him?
I mean, point is that he might be there longer than the other two.
These guys are still 25 or 26. I mean, like, you're not getting out of these guys.
McVay's coming off a Super Bowl. He's not going anywhere anytime soon.
Les Snead might be going somewhere. He's pulling the stick in all these deals.
Maybe Jerry Jones will trade for Sean McVay and save the Rams.
I was actually thinking about that. after
give them a first round pick that they so desperately need.
Did you see? Not to get too far afield, but quickly, Jason Garrett tell the radio station on Monday that they don't use analytics in the game because it doesn't fit what they do best.
I mean, that's very on brand. That does make sense.
Jason Lockenfora wrote about the Goff issue. And like, when he's not in shotgun, last year he's averaging almost 10 yards per passing attempt, 14 touchdowns, two interceptions. This year, 8 yards per attempt, two touchdowns, five interceptions. And his rating has dropped from 113.7 down to 71.4. I mean, that was basically what they were doing with the outside zone run. They would do that, play off shotgun, play off the play action, toss it deep, and you had tons of shots, and it just has not worked. They don't have, I mean, the Rams are in serious long-term trouble. Like, they might be in a borderline Jaguars-Bears type of situation.
What does that mean?
Like, oh, this team's great. They got a huge window, rookie contract.
I mean, I think the Rams, I said this during the Rams-Bears game, a terrible game between two bad teams, is that the Rams are obviously in a worse situation than the Bears. Like, I'd rather be the Bears long-term than the Rams, because at least their quarterback stunk before the extension. So, like, they're not going to be tricked into giving him $30 million a year because, well, I don't want to say that because Ryan Pace is dumb sometimes with quarterbacks. But hopefully they won't end up doing that. So, no, I agree with you. I think the Rams are long-term doo-doo.
Well, the Rams can get out of this. I mean, like, they can get out of this after only three more years of Jared Goff. Like, that's
only three more years.
Sean McVay will be ball-headed by then. So much stress.
They drafted him number one overall. Like, they're going to have to ride him out until he's 27. Like,
Sean just said this. You didn't have to pay him.
I said that, too.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sean, I have to take that back. You did not say it. Brenton said it while he was on the Jets bandwagon.
You could have waited, a year. You could have waited one more offseason.
This was actually a topic I feel like on multiple podcasts over the summer is should they? And we all said they will, but it's going to be the dumbest mistake that they could possibly make in that situation.
Hey, Goff deal,
turns out we were wrong. They traded for Jalen Ramsey and gave up two first-round picks. That was dumber.
Hold on. Goff deal you get out of in 2021.
Okay, so one more losing season, and you still don't have any draft picks.
You got to take a crap ton of cap hit. I mean, like, you can get.
Is that, I mean, okay, that's a terrible. You talk about the Bengals being a terrible organization. This isn't exactly great personnel management.
It's looking good. All right, now the big vague issues for next year as well. Uncertain. The Bears, Panthers, Buccaneers, Titans, and Jaguars. If you could pick one quarterback to play for these teams, John Breach, who would you, let's play matchmaker for these teams. Breach, who would you matchmake with the Titans?
I think the irony here is that Jameis Winston will probably be playing for one of these five teams, even if it's not the Buccaneers. But are you saying who do I think on these five teams? Can I pick any quarterback? What am I picking?
You get to pick any quarterback. I mean, you can't pick
Andy Dalton. All Andy, five.
I want you to play matchmaker with somebody for the Titans. Who's the best possible quarterback for the Titans for them to come out of next year?
I think this is crazy, but I wouldn't be surprised if they stick with Ryan Tannehill. He's been so successful. He's been 4-1 since he's been a starter. The offense has looked completely revamped since they benched Mariota. So I think the Titans will stick with Ryan Tannehill going forward. Does he have a 1-year deal or a 2-year deal? How many years does he have left on his contract?
This is it.
Free agent.
Okay, yeah, I think they'll resign him.
I asked Jason Lockenfora on Monday if he thought they would tag him. He said no, but if Ryan Tannehill keeps playing really well, it would be a possibility if he was trying to explore the market. You would think that Tannehill would be like, hey, this worked out really well for me. I would love to come back here. Who would you like to see play for the Bears, Sean?
Two guys. I don't know if the first will happen. Probably not. The first would be Teddy.
That's a great answer. Jameis Winston, that's a great answer, Sean. Let's move along.
Andy Dalton. I actually wouldn't mind Dalton as long as you don't have to give up a lot in a trade deal because the Bears don't have any picks, as we've mentioned.
He's a free agent.
Dalton? No. He's got one more year on his deal. Yeah, that's right. Why I was talking right. About keep playing him for trade value.
Cam and Dalton ones, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and that's the reason why I love Cam with the injury risk. I just don't – I feel like he's going to cost more, and I don't think the Bears with their draft pick situation are in a position to give up like a second or third round pick for a quarterback who might not be healthy. If Cam's healthy, he's the best option though. The guys – so Breach just said Tannehill. I think in terms of like free agents – I think he would probably make the most sense. I think his mobility is something Matt Nagy could use, something we saw from Trubisky last year. And the quarterback who probably won't get away is Bridgewater. He'd probably be at the top of my list if he's able to walk in free agency. But I believe the Saints have a team. Is it a team option or a player option next year for Teddy?
Either way, you didn't really answer the question, so I'm going to answer it for you. You didn't give us real.
I just gave three answers.
No, you gave us what you want to have happen. But
Tannehill.
The answer is Jameis Winston. All right, Ryan.
No.
Moving along to the Buccaneers. Who do you think the Buccaneers should get, and who will they end up getting? The answer is also.
Bruce Arians seems to love Jameis Winston.
Like, I think.
Got the clip? That's my favorite clip.
Oh, I do have the clip.
All right, you get that. So maybe he wants to make it work with Jameis, but I mean, you got to pay Jameis $25 million at least, I would imagine. You got it?
No, I don't know, Ryan. I'll let you know when I have it.
Why do you have to pay Jameis $25 million?
He's not going to play for $20.
It's the market, John. That is what the market says.
But who else is paying Jameis $25 million?
The Bears.
I don't think the Bears are paying Jameis $25 million. And we can play back this clip when it happens, and I'm melting down live on this podcast, but on the emergency pod. But
you know what you're going to have to do if the Bears give Jameis $25
million? I told you, I'm taking a red zone year. I'm just watching red zone all year.
You got to fill up your
– Well, and real quick, that's one thing about Dalton's. If you trade for him, $17.5
million. Did that play?
No.
Of course. As hell, and it's going to get real for in a minute.
There we go. Well worth it. As for the Bucks, Jameis maybe is one. I sort of think that Bruce Arians might be able to work with a healthy Marcus Mariota. Warm weather. I don't think Mariota makes sense in Chicago because the weather's bad, and one more thing, the soft tissue injury or whatever. And I also think I won't get ahead of myself, but I think Marcus Mariota might be 1B. I can't imagine someone like Andy Dalton playing for the Buccaneers. I don't think that would work. So Mariota,
Bruce Arians owned it with the old Bengals quarterback before, brought in Carson Palmer.
I don't think he
had one of those guys had a really good arm.
Yeah. Carson Palmer's with the Raiders and he's good. By the way, I was on the podcast. I went on the Pro Football Doc podcast.
Dave Chow.
I told him the story about how Ryan nicknamed me Pro Football Doc.
Right. Oh, that wasn't someone else. I think Breach or Sean may have gone with that. Although I thank you for the credit. Did you tell him about my ACL injury and how I came back despite the odds?
I did. No.
21 months later.
All right. I will play matchmaker for the Panthers.
Yeah.
The answer is Philip Rivers.
I didn't want to steal your thunder. I think Marcus Mariota is a poor man's Cam Newton if Cam Newton doesn't come back.
Yeah, the reason I go Philip Rivers is I think there's a chance that maybe Ron Rivera moves on and Norv Turner sticks around. I know that
What about the whole family relocation thing?
Yeah.
He came Skype. Out quick.
I mean, I think it would have to be the Titans or the Panthers for him to do it, because it would have to be near the grandparents and bring some of the kids.
Can you imagine being the grandparents? God, I do not want to see 12 kids today.
You're going to have to watch these six kids for 9 months.
Oh, my God.
In Alabama while I've been doing it. I don't know what the answer to the Panthers is, because I don't think we know what the future will be for Carolina. So that one's tough to pull off.
Well, Prisco's saying that it's going to be Cam.
I hope they sign Derek Carr.
He's saying it's going to be Cam? What do you mean?
He said Cam's coming back next year. That's what he's been told.
Well, I mean, he can't know that, because no one knows who's going to be in charge of the Panthers.
Well. Whoever told him that, that's
are you thing. Are you doubting your colleague, Pete Prisco, your esteemed colleague?
No, I know who Pete talks to, and I don't know that he necessarily has the I don't think
so. You are doubting him.
I just don't think that anybody knows who will be pulling the strings for the Panthers.
A simple yes would have sufficed.
Right.
I'm doubting
You're
Pete.
Hedging.
Speaking of doubting Pete, who wants to talk about the Jaguars? You want to Shaw Breach, you play matchmaker for the Jaguars. Who should be playing for the Jaguars?
I think the Jags are going to go with Nick Foles because they don't have a choice, because his contract is worth $70 billion. and so they're not signing anyone. So they really just have to sit down, decide whether they want to man up and go with Minshew and not care about all the cash they gave Foles, or play Foles. And they've been outscored by like 70 points since Nick Foles has started this year in the three games he started. So I don't know that I want to roll with Foles, but it's going to be Foles or Minshew. And if I would do Minshew.
Is there a chance they trade Minshew?
No.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I would trade Foles before Minshew.
Who's
right, but no one Foles? But no one wants Foles because of the contract, like you just said. Whereas, like, if I'm the Bears, give me Gardner Minshew.
Third round pick?
Debo would kill for Foles right now.
Who?
Who would?
Debo and the Eagles.
Not true.
That's a lot of money.
No, yes or no?
No.
Okay.
John, what about a three-way trade where we go Foles to Philly, Wentz to Chicago?
I mean, I would take Carson Wentz over Mitch Trubisky in a heartbeat.
How much better is it?
What? Okay, stop it. You haven't watched Trubisky, and you clearly didn't watch the game on Sunday.
Worth noting, we haven't even included the Cowboys because they will either sign Dak Prescott or franchise tag him. He's not going anywhere. In between is a good category here. Colts, Vikings, and Lions. I actually think the Vikings are probably kind of happy with Kirk Cousins right now. That could all change in the next couple of weeks, but
Just year two or year three?
Year two. So he's not going anywhere. He's there. They'll figure out the long-term solution afterwards. They're sort of all in on this window with Kirk Cousins. And, you know, look, they're winning a bunch of games. He's playing a lot better. He's in the fringe MVP conversation. So I don't think they're too worked up about it. I feel like the Colts are committed to Jacoby Brissett too, right? Anybody doubt
that? Short-term deal though.
Yeah. But I mean, like, he's their guy for the next 2 years. Right? They could draft somebody, but I think they like Jacoby.
I think they can do better, but I agree.
I think they can do better too. I would be surprised if they at least sniff around in the offseason, look for someone, because you have Jacoby under contract for 2020 at just $6 million. You know, it's not a huge.
The Bengals are fine with Andy Dalton, but the Colts need to do better. Right. Sure. Makes total sense.
By the way,
nobody's saying the Bengals are fine with Andy Dalton. Who said that?
No, I'm not saying.
Bears
you can't insult an NC State quarterback, Breach. Come on.
They're fine the rest of this season, but Dalton's not going to be there after that, so no one's disputing that.
Bears have a perfect roster, especially with Mitch Trubisky, but the Colts have problems with Brissett. Yeah, sure.
Jacoby is the knee injury, missed a couple games, I think, at least one, maybe two. 11th in value per play, according to Football Outsiders. I don't know if you want to be kicking the tires on a bunch of other people, especially because Frank Reich loves him.
I think they like him.
I love all 6.7 yards per attempt of Jacoby Brissett every throw.
I understand.
Love it.
Okay. Well,
sign me up.
Then you must.
Don't put them on primetime again, please.
You would trade for Jacoby Brissett in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's better. I mean, where's the bar? Yes. If the bar is Trubisky, there's 25 other quarterbacks I'd rather have.
Sean Bean,
I just think the Colts should aspire to do better than Jacoby Brissett, because as Breach mentions, he has a very cheap contract, so you can go get another guy and see.
He's 11th in the value per play. Who are you going to get that's better than him on that contract? Quit talking stupid.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
All right, well, this is not going to age well on your guys' part.
And then the Lions. What are the Lions got going on with Matthew Stafford's contract here? Are they screwed? They might be screwed.
A year ago, we were talking about that they were screwed, but then Stafford was actually playing out of his mind this year, that maybe reconsider that. But it is a steep deal. I think they have like two more years with it without getting out.
They can't cut him reasonably until after the 2020 season.
Yeah. So one more year minimum, probably two more years. The move with Stafford, by the way, don't play him again in 2019. Please, for the love of all that is holy, do not play him.
The only thing I would ask, though, is Matt Patricia's job in trouble? If it's not, right, don't play him. If it is, I got some bad news for you, Matthew.
Get you back out there. Take the
By the way, did you know, or had you remembered that Patricia, I think, tore his Achilles in the offseason? Yeah. But he still wears a big boot on his foot. I said, why is he wearing that moon boot on one foot? I was like, all right, he was
cruising around a little scooter for the first 4 weeks of the season.
When I loved him.
He knows my challenge for him because he had a good wheel out there and threw the challenge flag. Are you not watching every second of Matt Patricia?
And you know who else tore his Achilles and is already healed? Yes, thank you.
Who?
John Breach.
Matt LaFleur.
Matt LaFleur. Benefit of the draft. Dolphins, Bengals, and the Broncos. Would you rather be the Dolphins, Bengals, Broncos, or Bears?
Bengals. Well, John pointed this out on Sunday. You could draft Joe Burrow number one, but there's so many other problems on that team that he's probably going to get demolished. Maybe Chase Young makes sense there, but I think you have to take Joe Burrow number one. Dolphins have all those picks, but they gave away Laremy Tunsil and Minka Fitzpatrick. So are they going to be better? And the Tua, who knows what's happening with Tua? You guys talked about having Drew Lock play. I don't know what John Elway's thinking. I don't think John Elway knows how many quarterbacks they're going to draft and or sign. So I guess the Bengals, I don't know.
I think the team in the worst shape is probably the Broncos because he was a second round pick on Drew Lock. They traded for Flacco. They refuse to like admit that they're terrible.
And they wouldn't trade Von Miller, Chris Harris. They could have gotten a lot of cap that way.
Then I would say the Bengals after that because they kept all their guys and didn't get any value for the trade.
Yeah.
Then I would say the Bears because they have Trubisky and like they're in limbo. I'm not trying to bag on Sean.
I mean,
they're not even on the list.
I disagree. Out of all those teams, I actually really do disagree because the Bears just need, like right now, I mean, the Bears suck, so don't laugh at what I'm going to say. You're going to laugh anyways. Like the Bears are technically in the middle of like their Super Bowl window or whatever with Max signed to this deal and all these defensive players. They just are looking for an average quarterback. And so I think if you're looking at the next 3-4 years, out of all these teams, who I'd rather be the Bears because their roster is not bad outside of the quarterback position.
Oh, man.
Like if they had Jacoby Brissett, they'd be awesome.
To back Sean up, we always talk about the Bears' defense and regression. Yes, we do know that has happened. But last year, the Bears gave up 17.7 points per game. This year, they are only giving up 17.1. They are actually giving up fewer points and have gotten worse because Trubisky is more trash than he was last year.
Ooh. Yeah, they just need an average quarterback. And you know what? There's going to be a lot of free agent upheaval this year with some average quarterbacks. So
look, let me tell you something.
Wait, real quick. It's a low bar. Ask me to compare them to the Bengals, the Broncos, and the Dolphins. I would much rather have the Bears situation right now.
You think you're delusional and psychotic. You think that you've got a Super Bowl window. Buddy, you're the new Jaguars. You want the Nick Foles Band-Aid. You think that's going to magically push you over the top? And it's not.
I just said I don't want Nick Foles.
Hey, no. But you're like, all we need is an average quarterback. Look at Nick Foles. Who's out there in free agency? No, you're just going to sink further into the depths of hell as a fan base and as a team when you realize that this roster isn't that good. It's aging. Your GM stinks. The coach is terrible. They can't find a quarterback. They can't protect for him. They can't run. He's a bad play caller. The defense is slowly regressing. The Khalil Mack trade was a bad idea in the first place, and the Bears are the worst team in football. Oh, that felt good.
Not name the Bengals.
This is just Prince has been taking a bashing the last couple of weeks with the Rivers and the Panthers and the
I would say
stuff.
If we're really ranking those four teams on who is the worst off, I think the Broncos are the worst off because they're kind of in this weird purgatory where all their defensive stars are aging. They still don't have a quarterback. They don't know if Drew Lock's any good. Their offensive line hasn't been great. They have a couple good receivers, but they don't have a quarterback who can get them the ball. And so I would rank them as the worst off out of those four. Then probably the Bengals, because I don't trust their front office with the number one overall pick. And no matter what, if they take Burrow, if they take Chase Young, if they just throw the pick away because they don't know what they're doing, that is a probability because that could happen with them. So
if they threw away the pick, it would get hurt and wouldn't play it like that.
Can you imagine if you got to turn in the thing? That would be something.
That's second worst. And then, Dolphins, I would say, is second worst. And then Broncos worst, Bengals second worst, and then Dolphins and Bears probably in the best shape out of those four teams, but that
Thank
is not
you.
Saying much.
Thank
that's,
you.
That's like having the nicest eyebrows on this podcast. Like, you know, this doesn't mean anything.
I would say just off first glance, me or Deba.
Oh, weird. Heat check.
Deba. He brought it up. I'm just Sean.
By the way, this is going to be awesome when the Bears.
Just calling it like I see it.
And the Bears pick up Trubisky's fifth year option. So many emergency podcasts just for that. Like three emergency podcasts, an hour and a half long emergency podcast. Bears pick up Trubisky's fifth year option in March this all season. All right, let's get out of here. We almost made it under an hour. Sorry, Devo. Came close.
never mind.
What? Go ahead.
I won't do it. We didn't mention the Raiders, did we?
Why would we?
We didn't.
I feel like that's a really intriguing situation.
Would they be an in-between team? Okay. An in-between team? Or uncertain for next year?
I don't know where they fall. I think they would probably fall with the Lions, Vikings, and
this is
Lions and Tigers and Bears, oh my.
This is Carr's best year.
Yeah, but Carr is so cuttable. But now here's the thing. You can cut him next year. You can cut him this offseason. Or trade it. If you cut him this offseason, you take $5 million in dead cap space in 2020. But I think what the Raiders might rather do is draft somebody this offseason if things don't work, if they lose a bunch of games down the stretch and they have a good pick and they can get a quarterback and then let him sit a year behind Carr, and then you can get rid of Carr once he turns 30 after the 2021 or after the
He's
20.
Not 30 yet? I feel like he's been there forever.
I know.
So, by the way, value per play, Derek Carr sixth.
Wow.
Sean, would you rather have Derek Carr, Jacoby Brissett, or stay with Mitch Trubisky?
Derek Carr.
That's crazy talk.
Carr is, I mean, I'm not a Carr, I mean, I'm just not a fan of any of those three quarterbacks, so.
He's serviceable, but I think Brinson said the interesting thing. They can get out of the contract after this season, and we know John Gruden has been saying from day one, I love you, I love you, I love you, but he's also been getting rid of players 5 minutes after saying that. So we will actually find out how much he appreciates, and we will find out if Derek Carr is actually going to move next door to him in Vegas, because obviously that's not going to happen if Gruden gets rid of him this offseason. So, I think it's interesting dynamic.
If you would have asked me before the Jets game, I would have said Carr's for sure coming back, and then Derek Carr gets benched with, like, how many minutes were remaining in that game?
No, he took him out just because they were getting blown out.
Yeah, it's too.
I mean, but I mean, when you're playing that bad against the Jets and are getting sit down in the fourth quarter, like that's saying something.
Well, they just pulled them, just like they pulled Lamar against the Rams.
It was not like they pulled Lamar against the Rams. Lamar was winning and he had scored on every possession.
The game was
the opposite.
Over.
No. But look, it was not. Look, there's three different ways you can pull somebody out of a game like that. There's one, the Lamar game, where you're blowing a team out and you sit down your quarterback to be safe. There's two, like Mr. Trubisky, where you fake an injury but he's really really benched him. And then there's three, when you're getting blown out and there's no sense in having your quarterback in there. Like Goff shouldn't have been in there against the Ravens late when you're down 45-6. And that's what happened with Derek Carr.
I'm merely saying it's indicative of how bad or how not good this quarterback is that you're getting blown out by the Jets and you're in such a bad.
He plays defense. I didn't know that.
Because the Raiders' offense played well against the Jets, right?
Look, the Raiders' offense was hot trash. Carr was not good, but I'm just saying he wasn't benched for Glennon. Like that's not what it was. It wasn't a quarterback change.
I'm not going to get in semantics.
No,
he was having a pretty good season by his standards, and then he goes out and lays that egg against the Jets. To the point where they're so far out of it, he's getting benched. He's getting pulled from the game in the fourth quarter with like 10 minutes left.
I don't know why that's so hard to wrap your brain around.
It wasn't even a thing on the sidelines. Were you watching?
Sean, I'm going to side with them. The principle of this was Gruden's like, this game is lost. I don't want to see Derek Carr get injured. And the principle of Harbaugh is we've already won this game. I don't want to see Lamar Jackson get injured. It was about keeping your quarterback safe versus benching him because he's horrible.
I'm literally just saying that. The Raiders were so bad, and Carr included, that he got pulled against the Jets with 10 minutes left because that's how bad they were.
But you used the word bench, and that's not
okay.
What I...
Okay, pulled. Use whatever word you want. That's what I'm saying. I've clarified this three times now. That's what I'm saying.
No, you haven't. You made it more difficult to understand you.
You acted like a child, and you made it more difficult.
Yeah.
There's nobody on this planet I'd see Derek Carr bench for Mike Glennon more than me. But he wasn't benched. I was watching the game. He wasn't benched. We also forgot Jimmy Garoppolo. In the 49ers.
Hey, he keeps proving us wrong. I think, are you now on the Jimmy G bandwagon, Brinson? I know you were dogging the 49ers earlier. People were angry at you.
No, I think Jimmy G is, oh God, did we just piss off Raiders fans again? Crap. What are you going to do?
Sean did.
Can't love all 32 fan bases. Just the Chargers. I think Jimmy G, what's really impressed me about him the last few weeks is that he starts a little shaky. And then seems to kind of get it, like, you know, like you see Goff start shaky. He just can't get it back on track. You see that with a lot of quarterbacks. Jimmy G will kind of, I think Kyle Shanahan's doing some stuff where he's giving him open looks, either on play action or different kind of protections. And then he's getting him, you know, shots down the middle that he feels comfortable making. And you get him in that rhythm and he starts to really get going. So that's been impressive. They can get out of his deal starting this offseason. That's worth noting. I don't think they will, but they can.
Yeah, the 49ers do that with quarterback contracts. It's a really smart way to do it because, look, you gave him all this money, but if he struggles, you want to be we're seeing with Jared Goff, with Carson Wentz, you want to be anchored to that guy if he starts either getting hurt like Carson Wentz or just looks like a horrible quarterback like Jared Goff. So, you know, the way Garoppolo is playing this season, I think they would absolutely want to keep him around for 2020. But if they go 3-13 next year because Jimmy Garoppolo looks horrible, then they get out of the deal. So this is a pretty good – the cap hit – to cut him is $4.2 million in 2020, and it only goes down from there.
18th in value per play, by the way, this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's been...
He's fine. He's good enough for this team.
Yeah. I think he would be good in, like, I know we keep going back to the Bears. I'm not
trying of course.
The Bears would be in the playoff hunt if they had Jimmy Garoppolo.
Probably. It's funny, because I was going to say, we keep on finding these teams who are, like, 2 years ago, Jaguars and the Bears. That could potentially be the 49ers in a year or two. Just a team riding defensive success with a quarterback who might not be that great. I mean, I don't know. I mean, we all differ how we feel about Garoppolo. But with defensive success fluctuating on a year-to-year basis, I do think...
So they have one of the best play callers.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, that is the difference, though. Shanahan, I think, is the reason why Garoppolo has been playing so well.
And they surround him with playmakers, which helps.
All right, Devo, did you forget any more quarterbacks?
This guy.
Hey, we're not.
This guy.
Golly, settle down. All right, let's get out of here. Great show. We'll be back tomorrow. Brady Quinn football show. And then we'll fire up a bunch of shows. We're going to preview the Thanksgiving games with Brady and Ryan and talk apparently about Justin Herbert. We've been asked to get film of the Oregon game. Who knows? why that's going to happen. And then we'll be back with the regular slate of podcasts for the rest of the week. Leave a review, rate. Talk to you guys later.
The wait is over. The Chi returns with new episodes on Paramount Plus.
What brings you to the Chi?
Opportunity.
Everybody get down!
Walk right up to the side.
A new rain is coming to the South Side.
Never should have sent a boy to do a woman's job.
The Chi. New episodes May 10th. Visit ParamountPlus.com/The Chi to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto renews. Restrictions apply.